Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations, thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Yesterday, Joanne and I were at the Duke Point ferry terminal, and we needed to stretch a bit before the ferry, and in the sort of common area there by the terminal, I spied a man with a special cap on. I'd never seen a cedar woven ball cap, and it was cool. I like caps. Because of the sun, I wear caps and hats all the time. Well, not indoors, but you know what I mean. So I was attracted to this. So I went up to him and I said, hello, and he greeted me. I said, you got quite a lid on there. He goes, that's right, it's quite a hat. I said, where did that come from, or where did you get it? She said, well, a friend of mine made it in Haida Gwaii. It's her first ball cap. I said, really? He goes, yep. And it's her last. I said, really, why is that? Well, he said, in splitting the cedar and then taking the strips and then working the strips and weaving them, he said, she doesn't have the strength in her hands anymore because of her arthritis. I said, well, that's one special cap. And I loved it because the bill and the crown, there was no seam. It was all woven. It was just really cool. I got a big noggin, and so there was no way it would fit me, but I said, I see there's a bit of a headband there. He started laughing. He said, yeah, she made it. It was too big. I wish I had that problem. So she had sewn a little headband inside the cap. I said, is that Western Red Cedar? He said, yes, it is. I said, is it from Haida Gwaii? He goes, yeah, it is. And part of the regalia that Beth was talking about, Coast Salish people, there was someone at a diocesan function, and he had a leather vest with wooden paddles hanging off them. And so when he walked, they made this noise. And again, it was Western Red Cedar, so central to the economy of the Coast Salish peoples and others. And I asked him if that was cedar, and he said, yes, it was. And they're stylized paddles. I find it so interesting. So the man last night, yesterday, with a cap, I said, would it be appropriate for a non-native person to wear a cedar cap such as that? He said, oh yeah, it's not a problem. Because the fine line between what's regalia and what is sort of common wear, I'm not really sure about. It's as if you saw someone wearing this at a soccer game, you'd go, not exactly appropriate. And yet they might just think it's a poncho with a symbol on it, right? Why not? So he said, well, let me show you something. I said, okay. So he was pulling up a photo on his phone. Have you ever done that? Where is that photo? His sister had made a hat for the chief of police in Delta, Neil Dubord. Maybe rings a bell. And non-native, and I think this was the connection. She had presented him with the cap that she had made, a cedar hat. It was like a fedora. It was really cool. And he had this big smile on his face, the chief did, chief of police, and it was adorned with an eagle feather on the front. Very beautiful. As if to say, you know, non-native people can wear these too. It's okay. And it was a nice exchange in that waning light in the warm afternoon. I appreciated that. I'm largely ignorant of our indigenous peoples. And I'm learning that rather than just use one term, indigenous peoples, it's really First Nations, Métis, and Inuit. When I was in Quebec, I got to know the Inuit who came down, had a strong Anglican connection, came down from Great Whale. And got to know a couple people, young people, fairly well over the years we were there. So it's about relationships, is it not? It's about relationships. So I'm so glad that Beth and Mac and Alex could share with us and hopefully educate us today in the richness of the culture of the Chehalis people, which they were reflecting, with a very modern twist, as Beth designed those images herself and then committed them to the beadwork. I thought it was masterful. It was so fun to be able to track this over the days and weeks and months that was in conception and execution. To have such a day like this provokes a number of things among us. Some is fatigue. It's like, oh, why do we have to do this again? Other, it provokes anger. In a number of ways. Some of us want to hold on to some of the old terms, some of the old images, perhaps, that we have of indigenous peoples. But today is an opportunity to let go of some of that. Just let go of it and to move on. Whatever is good, whatever is beautiful, whatever is praiseworthy, the Apostle Paul says to the Philippian church, think about those things. And so whatever is good and praiseworthy and noble and excellent that we've seen even today, let's think and talk about those things. And it says the peace of God will be with you. Difficult period of history to be a Canadian in facing up and learning about some of the awful things that have happened in our history, in some very recent history. Our national paper, the Anglican Journal, I don't know if you get it, but sometimes I read articles as a discipline rather than as something that I'm just feeling like doing. And I do them as I read them as a discipline because sometimes they deal with subject matter that's difficult to read. And there was a story in the latest journal that was such a story. And I won't go on at length here, but I will just make a couple comments because whenever our primate, and we're aware that our primate, Fred Hiltz, he's from PEI and Nova Scotia, and if you hear him, you'll hear the accent very quickly. He served very faithfully, I believe, and worked very hard. And part of the way he's done that and modeled that is working toward reconciliation with First Nation, Métis, and Inuit people. And so he and the Indigenous bishop in Canada, Mark MacDonald, came out following the submission of a report. And the headline is, the article is Primate and National Indigenous Anglican Bishop Respond to the MMIWG. And you think, oh, here's another acronym, right? What does it even mean? Like, what do I care? Well, MMIWG, missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. So there was an inquiry, and our primate, Fred Hills, and National Indigenous Anglican Bishop Mark MacDonald made a pledge of support. Just to read a bit here, they made a pledge of support to speak out against racism, sexism, homophobia, and transphobia. Now right away we think, oh brother, I'm just overwhelmed already. Another acronym. Are you ready for another one? See, acronyms are difficult, right? Because it really reflects a short form of speaking about people. And ultimately, it's about relationships, and acronyms can distance us clearly from those people. But nonetheless, here comes a new one for me as well. So it's to speak out against those things, and then to protect, support, and promote the safety of women and girls. Over 4,000 are unaccounted for, and some are accounted for very clearly, but missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls in Canada. So promoting the safety of women and girls, and the 2SLGBTQIA people in response to the final report of the National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls. So, 2SLGBTQQIA, two-spirited. In many indigenous communities, that's the way that that is expressed, not by all, but that a person is two spirits. They're non-binary. They're neither male nor female, but are some, there's the idea that they're two-spirited people. L, lesbian. G, gay. B, bisexual. T, transsexual. Q, queer. And Q is questioning. Then the IA is intersex and asexual. Are we in a new age? It's quite something, isn't it? This gender revolution that we're in. What do we do with this? How do we orient within this new day? Do you find it a challenge? I do. And some just don't. And beautiful, maybe we could talk. I think we all have a journey here. We're all kind of working through our place. Some people in our families we know who would identify themselves as one of these persons, an orientation, an identity. And so this part of this day, we acknowledge, we simply acknowledge as a reality among us. And that our church has a role in, as we've heard, supporting women and girls and people who identify in this community of two-spirited, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, queer, questioning, intersex, and asexual. And would any of those folk find a place here at St. Cuthbert? It's really the acid test, isn't it, for me? What is community, and how do we function? And of course, people who identify as such are here. And so on this day, you know, to be off balance, to be sort of knocked off balance by some of these realities is not a bad thing. Because rather than just find our footing like we did before, maybe we'll find a new footing, a new understanding, a new compassion perhaps. Just perhaps refocusing on God and saying, Lord, please lead us. Holy Spirit, please guide us. And some of us are just tired of it. We're so tired of these profound and foundational changes. It doesn't feel like home anymore. Whether I'm at church or at home or reading the news, I just, doesn't feel like home anymore. I feel so disoriented and I get upset. Well, I acknowledge how you're feeling. And in the face of that, we hear, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. How do we respond? Well, in gentleness. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then this closing in Paul's letter to the Philippians, I think it's so helpful, whether we're thinking about gay or lesbian or LGBTQ2S, I'm just learning these myself. Can we in our learning apply this, that to focus on whatever is true and honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable. If there's anything excellent, and if there's anything worthy of praise, well, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. And so in our discipleship, as we grow up into the full stature of Christ, it's part of our baptismal commitment as a community to grow up in Christ. May we rely on the light of Christ, as John's gospel talks about, that he is the light. As he illuminates the darkness, we say that the darkness has not overcome that light and will not overcome that light, we say in faith. And may we be illumined as well, that God would shine into our hearts. God came and became human and lived among us. And so how can we acknowledge that in people who are different from us? Acknowledge even the glory of God in someone who is very different than we are. That's what I feel the challenge is. As a new Canadian myself, I felt at my citizenship ceremony that the work of reconciliation with First Nations, Métis, and Inuit was one of the privileges that I now have as a Canadian, as it was very central in our citizenship ceremony, and of course is central in our church's proclamation of the good news that we are here as to be reconciled as well as seeking reconciliation. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Maybe we'll stay there, just that as we acknowledge this day and people throughout this land, that we would do so full of grace and truth. And if we feel knocked off balance a little bit, maybe that's not a bad thing, as we rely on each other and upon Jesus. As I began, I closed from the psalm that we read today. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts and attitudes of my heart be acceptable, my Lord and my Redeemer.